Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. Hi, Candace.
Aloha.
So, episode 18, let's get it kicked off. Telkom, dominating the news this week for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, a little bit of scandal coming out of that, but you know quite a lot about what's happening. Tell us more.
Yeah, in fact, the last two and a half days or so, I've been doing very little other than investigating these issues at Telkom.
Including sleeping.
Yes, the Telkom dossiers, as they're now being known, or Telkom leaks, as opposed to WikiLeaks, as some people are referring to them. The number of dossiers that have been leaked via a union, the Communication Workers Union, via one of their branches, I think in Limpopo, and making allegations, a whole series of allegations regarding current and former top management at Telkom, and suggestions that even some of the current management, including Jeffrey Hedberg who's the acting group CEO, and Pinky Moholi, the MD of Telkom South Africa, were involved in poor decision makings, and suggestions of even potentially corrupt practices, etc., and nepotism. I have spoken to a range of sources in Telkom. I know that Pinky Moholi, for one, is extremely upset about these allegations. She says they're absolutely untrue, and she has reserved her rights legally, and may act in this issue. It's quite damaging for Telkom, and suggests that things have gotten quite bad at this organization. Even if many of the allegations are untrue, and I suspect that some of the allegations around Jeffrey Hedberg and Pinky Moholi, or I think all the allegations around Jeffrey Hedberg and Pinky Moholi are inaccurate, some of the allegations in these reports are probably true. And I think there has been a lack of corporate governance, and there's been poor management at this organization. I think ever since the Americans and the Malaysians sold out back in 2003 or 2004. And I think the proverbial chickens are coming home to roost now. It's a big mess of competing interests, of people stabbing each other in the back, of politics being involved here, because of course Telkom is 40% owned by the state. The whole issue of the golden share is coming up, where government's so-called Class A share in Telkom is expiring in March, and I think that's driving a lot of sort of politics in the background. And I think you're seeing a lot of jostling and moving for position, for power in this organization. I think it's a very unfortunate situation that it's in now.
But it does sort of look like anyone who is pitching for the CEO position, or anyone who has the qualifications for the CEO position at Telkom, has been fingered in these dossiers. Hmm. What's your take on that, Duncan?
Absolutely. I mean, the sort of perception from the senior executives at Telkom that I've spoken to is that anyone who's regarded as a potential competitor to the top job at Telkom has been named in this dossier. The suggestion that I'm hearing from folks at Telkom is that the fired group chief operating officer, Motlatsi Nzeku, is in fact behind these dossiers. I spoke to Nzeku a day or two ago, and he flatly denied it. In fact, said to me, "What dossiers are you talking about? Please, can you send me a copy? This is the first I'm hearing of this." But my senior sources in Telkom are adamant that this dossier has all the hallmarks of Nzeku, and that Nzeku may in fact be making a play for the top job at Telkom, or some other senior position at Telkom. Now, this Nzeku matter goes back several years, and in fact Nzeku has kept a dossier over the years of alleged corrupt practices by senior Telkom management. He had a big falling out with Ruben September last year, which culminated in his firing after he leaked some of this material to the Sunday Times. Telkom put out a sense statement in the time, I think it was February 2009, in an unusually harshly worded sense statement, basically saying that he's been axed for bringing Telkom into disrepute, etc., etc.
I remember that, but his axing has been subsequently overturned.
It went to a private arbitration, and the arbitrator, the judge in that arbitration dispute, found in his favour. I understand ostensibly because the person who fired him in the first place, Ruben September, was himself later left the organization. after clashing with the group's chairman. It's a very complicated situation, this. But my understanding is that the judge in the arbitration case found in favor of him because September left the group. I understand that Telkom has subsequently decided to appeal the arbitration and filed the necessary legal papers to do that about a month ago. And this may, in fact, my sources say, have prompted Nzeku to release these dossiers through the unions, if in fact he did do so. But as you can see, it's a big political mess, and South Africa can ill afford this. I mean, this is still the country's, effectively, and the country's only fixed line operator. They're the only provider of services like broadband, DSL, etc. And we can't actually afford this, to see this company get into serious trouble. You know, it's facing a lot of litigation. Its Multilinks operation in Nigeria has been an absolute unmitigated failure, and it's facing very, very serious regulatory pressures, not only from its traditional regulatory CASA, but also from the Competition Commission for past anti-competitive behavior. So it's almost a perfect storm at Telkom at the moment, and it's going to require very good, credible, solid leadership to lead it out of this crisis. Of course, the problem is that there's a whole political angle behind this, with government special rights expiring in March, a new Minister of Communications whose agenda we don't have a full picture of yet. So Roy Padiachi, we're not sure what his agenda is for Telkom, but he has already said that he doesn't want government to lose those special rights on March the 5th next year, and may look for ways of expanding government's control, or at least maintaining government's control over Telkom. Now, the worry is that they're going to put some sort of stooge in the CEO position, someone who'll bend to the will of the ANC.
Because as we understand it now, Telkom is likely to fight the recreation of the golden share,
Not so much Telkom, but the JSE.
The JSE. Mm.
Because when I spoke to Russell Lobsher, who's the CEO of the JSE, a couple of weeks ago, and this is clearly a fight that they're... I wouldn't say relishing, but they certainly are stealing for a fight over this issue, because they didn't want the golden share in the first place, because it gives one shareholder additional rights over other shareholders, which creates all sorts of problems. They used to call them, in the old days of the JSE, they used to call them the N shares. I think they might even still be called N shares, where effectively company directors had more say over the running of the companies than the ordinary shareholders in the company. Now, the JSE is really, really, really against this sort of structure, and Russell Lobsher made it very clear to me that they're going to fight any attempt by government to extend any special rights that they may have over ordinary shareholders. The JSE originally allowed that deal back in when Telkom listed, I think, in 2003, apparently in the national interest, whatever that means. It probably means just government lent on them. But Russell Lobsher is talking quite strongly about this issue, so I think we may see a fight depending on what Roy Padiachi and his fellow ministers, who he is apparently discussing this with, decide to do. But it's very clear that the ANC has, since President Jacob Zuma took office, has lurched to the left, and Telkom is now seen as what they describe as a key strategic asset, and they have no intention whatsoever of letting go of it.
Well, it's really the last thing that Telkom needs is this the scandal, along with politicking. And
I agree absolutely with you. I think that the best thing that could happen to Telkom right now, and it's the thing that's not going to happen, is for there to be a privatization and sale of this asset. Unfortunately, given that the ANC has these left-wing allies, increasingly outspoken left-wing allies in the SACP and COSATU, it's not going to happen. It's going to remain in state hands, and you know, as the share buybacks continue, its shareholding is gradually going to creep up over 40%. It's a worrying situation, and I think we'll have a clearer picture by March of where things are going. Of course, Padiachi's given himself until the end of the year to appoint a new chairman, or extend the term of the existing chairman, Jeff Molobela. But I think that whoever he appoints to that position could give us some insight into where he expects this organization to go and what his plans are for it.
Absolutely. And that's something I'm afraid we just have to wait and see.
Yes, but it's very concerning. And it's not just concerning for Telkom employees and Telkom management. I think this is an issue that all South Africans should be concerned about, because it affects our futures, because this is such a key company in terms of providing and delivering broadband.
Well, I feel a little bit for Jeffrey Hedberg, because I don't think he's had to face this kind of politicking before. And it must be quite a strange situation for him to be dealing with at the moment, and not just frustrating, but also a little bit frightening, I would assume.
I'm sure. I mean, So the thinking is that he's not going to get the job, the top job, at the end of the day, because it has to go to someone who's perhaps not too doesn't think too independently of the politicians. Of course, the government still has a say in who gets appointed as the CEO in terms of these special shares. They appoint half the board and the chairman and have a say in the appointment of the CEO. So it's going to be interesting times ahead. Let's just hope that the right decisions get made. I am personally not terribly optimistic right now.
Yeah, it seems like there's quite a lot of trouble and worry ahead for Telkom, and I don't foresee it ending anytime soon. Mm. So let's hold thumbs that, as you say, the right decisions are made.
Yeah. Well, let's carry on with talking about politics. Again, issues around Roy Padiachi and the cabinet this time, and the whole issue of digital terrestrial television. I think we mentioned in our last podcast that the SADC region, or the task team that had been tasked by the communications ministers in the SADC, Southern African Development Community region, had reported back or recommended that South Africa adopt the second version of the European standard for digital terrestrial television. As you know, Candace, the entire region has to move away from analog to digital terrestrial broadcasts by the middle of 2015, in terms of an agreement they have with the International Telecommunications Union. There was a whole spanner thrown in the works earlier this year when South Africa's Department of Communications indicated that it would review 2006, I think it was, commitment to the European standard, and instead look at other potential standards, including the hybrid Brazilian-Japanese standard. The long and short of it is that the SADC task team reported back, to great joy to the commercial broadcasting sector, that the country should adopt DVB-T2, the second version of the European standard, which for all intents and purposes appears to be the most advanced digital broadcasting technology.
Well, I think the broadcasters have said so, and you know, you have to rely on the specialists in this regard. And having seen some of the tests that were conducted earlier this year, it definitely has made a difference.
Yes,
definitely has. Definitely has proved to be a good standard, and possibly the best standard for Southern Africa and South Africa. So,
yeah.
What really has been concerning, though, is that the Department of Communications has not yet clarified whether or not South Africa will be moving with the SADC decision on DVB-T2,
yes.
The upgraded European standard. I understand that the issue was discussed in Cabinet this week.
Yes. I spoke to Thembu Maseko, who's the Cabinet spokesman, and he said to me that the... because it didn't... You know, there was no sort of statement. The Cabinet always issues a statement the day after the Cabinet meeting in which the decisions and discussions of the Cabinet meeting are published. And there was no mention of it in the Cabinet statement this week. So I phoned Thembu Maseko, who's Cabinet spokesman, and asked him about this. And he confirmed to me that while there was no statement, nothing in the statement about digital terrestrial television, it had in fact been discussed by the Cabinet. And apparently what happened is that Roy Padiachi, the communications minister, told Cabinet that he needed more time to investigate. I'm not sure what that means, but he's requested more time to investigate, and Cabinet has mandated him or given him the authority to make the announcement on which standard the country is going to choose as soon as he's ready to do so. I don't know what that delay means. I don't know what this investigation means. I haven't been able to get clarity on that from the DOC, but and I've spoken to a couple of the commercial broadcasters who've expressed some concern about it, hopefully we'll hear something from the minister before the end of the year. But we're heading into the silly season now. It's middle of next week. I think everyone's going to be at the beach on their holiday homes. So I don't think the broadcaster should be terribly hopeful of hearing anything before January.
Agreed. Although that is seriously concerning, because I'm sure many of the broadcasters would be rearing to go by January next year if the announcement had been made in the last two or three weeks.
Yeah, it does seem to be a lack of urgency around some of these issues. I mean, the fact is this whole issue of digital standards was brought up almost a year ago now, early this year, and we still haven't got any clarity. So by the time we've got an announcement and the broadcast signal distributor Centec and the broadcasters can get on with migration, an entire year will have gone past.
But the sad thing is that the entire process was starting to really you know, get shaped and well progressed, and set-top boxes were set to go out, or the decoders that were required for digital TV were set to go out in April this year.
At least something good may come of this, because we could end up going for DVB-T2 instead of the original DVB-T European standard. And DVB-T2 has a number of technical advantages over T1. For example, well, the biggest advantage is greater spectral efficiency, which means that this broadcast signals make better, more efficient use of radio frequency spectrum, which means that there's a possibility either of launching more television channels in the same amount of spectrum that's going to be allocated for digital TV, or, and I think this is probably a more important issue, we could get more, we could get high-definition terrestrial services. And with the number of HD TVs that are being sold now, including into the lower LSMs, I think it makes sense to go HD. Perhaps we should just go HD and forget about standard definition on terrestrial.
I don't think that will be the first port of call for many of the broadcasters. Perhaps for the likes of SABC, definitely a single HD channel with the rest in standard definition, primarily because they are mandated to provide certain services. Mm. And I understand that they're looking at the possibility of a 24-hour news channel, which, in standard definition is
yes,
ideal.
SABC. Mm. Oh, God help us.
I know that there are some people who are contesting it and others are all for it. But at the end of the day, what we need to do now is actually just make a decision so we can get on with things.
Yes.
And the concern, it's really concerning that the minister hasn't made any decision as yet. And I'm sure the broadcasters are a bit concerned as well.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, if the decision is made on T2, most of the broadcasters are ready to do the conversion.
Yeah, and I think it sounds to me like the broadcasters want T2. I think there was perhaps a bit of reluctance initially from the commercial broadcasters because they know that T2 could result in greater competition in terrestrial services just because of the greater spectral efficiency, which means more competition potentially. But I think they've conceded that point and all seem to be in support of T2. The SABC, through all of this, has said absolutely nothing, of course, because they're too scared to say anything that might offend their political masters.
Centec also has been very quiet, but I think they...
They're not as quiet as the SABC, and they are rolling out DVB-T.
They are, yes. Yeah. I think that Centec would benefit from going T2 directly in the new upgrade, or at least in the rest of the rollout, and then start again with the original DVB-T rollout and start upgrading there. Mm. For Centec, it's great, but they also have to wait on the minister to find out what's going on.
Mm. Great. Candice, I think let's take a short word from our sponsors. We will be back right after this break.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing, from Vox.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon.
Ignition sequence start.
It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN. Lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. seems to be the bad news show this week, Candice. I think we're going to move on to talk about some retrenchments in the sector, and it doesn't sound like good news coming out of National Mobile at the moment.
Absolutely not.
They're retrenching somewhere in the figures are, I'm hearing different figures, but somewhere between 130 and 160 people, which is big for an organization with under 1,000 staff. And I think this is, we're starting to see some of the pressures of you know, the reduction in interconnection rates, the rates that the mobile operators charge each other to carry calls onto their networks, filtering through. The operators are obviously having to cut costs to maintain their margins. And I think the first place you're starting to see these cost cuts coming in is in the sales channel, in the resale channel. So you're starting to see the mobile operators putting pressure on their resellers like National Mobile. And, of course, these guys were also involved in the least-cost routing business, like their competitor, LTEC, Orderpage, Cellular. So they're also feeling the bite there because the arbitrage opportunities that the least-cost routing companies took advantage of with the high interconnection rates are going away as those rates come down.
I remember back in the day, just before the original cuts this year in March, many of the analysts said that the channel would start feeling the pressure if the interconnect rate came through. And they have. And you know, when you're being incentivized to sell someone's services as a reseller, and that incentive gets cut, it makes for a very difficult business model.
Yes, I mean it's sad news for all those involved, and the you know, it's especially this time of the year. Last thing you want to be doing is retrenching people, but. At the same time, it is about getting inefficiencies out of the system, and you know, it's sad to see these job losses. But at the end of the day, if it's about making the industry more efficient and more competitive, then it's something we have to go through.
Well, that is the unfortunate of it, but it is the truth. But it's not fun, and I'm sure that Nashua staff at the moment are feeling a little bit under the weather.
Mm. Yeah, and it's about price pressure, not just here in the South African market. There's been quite a lot of development across the continent in the last couple of months. And just this last week, we've seen Bharti Airtel sort of start to make its move in the Nigerian market. They obviously bought Airtel, being the giant Indian operator, bought the African assets of Zain from MTC of Kuwait. I think it was earlier this year or late last year.
It was earlier this year.
Yeah, lots happened this year.
Not long ago.
and they've moved into a number of key markets across Africa. The first market where they went in aggressively and slashed prices was in Kenya, where they have a relatively small market share. The Kenyan market is really dominated by Safaricom with 80%+ market share. But they went in there and they really have started a price war to try and get themselves noticed and start to gain some market share against Safaricom. Now they've gone and done the same thing now, it appears, or they're starting to do the same thing in Nigeria, which is a much bigger and much more important market, where South Africa's MTN has its biggest operation. MTN Nigeria is by far MTN's most profitable subsidiary and its greatest generator of sales.
Well, it's over 40% market share in the country.
Yes,
which is quite a chunk. And you know, Airtel had to do something dramatic to you know, get customers on board.
Yeah.
But analysts are saying that MTN may not actually see the effects on its revenue line because the market is very elastic.
So in other words, as prices come down, more people make more calls.
Oh, as prices come down, you get more subscribers, people make more calls, and your revenue line stays the same. Mm. What will happen, though, is that Telkom will start seeing a drop in MTN, apologies, will start seeing a drop in ARPU, which is the average revenue per user, so the amount of money that each user will spend. And MTN's group CEO, Phuthuma Nhleko, has long had a very soft spot for ARPU rates. It's one of the measures that he uses. So what MTN may see is obviously the drop in ARPU, and that will be a little bit of a blow to the company, but not much, specifically if they keep up the revenue lines. But it's a wait and see game. Whether or not MTN does feel the pressure in Nigeria is...
I think the message here is that it's been... I mean, these companies took risks going to Africa, but they've enjoyed a great reward from taking those risks. I mean, sort of profit margins that MTN has traditionally enjoyed in in Nigeria has been enormous. But I think the message here is that the African market is not going to be as easy as it was going forward, and that there are going to be pressures on margins.
Companies
are going to have to become more cost efficient. And, you know, with Bharti coming into them, Bharti is well known in India as a low cost operator. MTN knows it needs to be a low cost operator and is actually making strides in that direction. But it's good. It's great for consumers. But you know, if you're a mobile operator, you're going to have your wits about you to at least maintain some degree of healthy margin and profit. And it's going to be interesting because there will be some casualties out of this whole process. Bharti's being very, very. I mean, it's taking a big risk because in some of these markets, coming up against big incumbents, which are much better resourced, well, you know, much deeper pockets to outlast a price war. So it could end up being a war of attrition that Bharti loses. But we'll just watch the space. It's going to take a couple of years before we get a clearer picture of where it's going to end up.
Absolutely, but it is their game. It's the game they've played in India for a very long time, and you know, I don't believe that they'll end up in the bottom rung. I think that they may just gain some traction off it. So we shall see, though.
Absolutely, good. I think lastly this week, let's talk about the issue of ATC, American Tower Corporation, winning a 2.9 billion rand deal in Ghana. With MTN, which we'll see, they're basically forming a joint venture, I think, with MTN holding 49, is it 51? 49, I think, and ATC holding the remaining 51%. Tower sharing deal, so MTN, or rather American Tower Corporation, will maintain and run this tower infrastructure and presumably be able to put other companies' radio equipment on these towers. Very similar to the sort of deal I think we saw announced recently by Cell C and American Tower Corporation. It seems to be a developing trend, and I think it's part of this whole thing of becoming more efficient and reducing costs and you know, becoming a low-cost operator as competition intensifies.
I think that you'll see MTN using this kind of tower sharing structure across Africa. From what I understand, it's not likely in South Africa, but definitely they have to start looking at shaping costs and keeping them as low as possible, specifically with Airtel coming in and making aggressive changes to the market across their countries. So,
yeah.
You know, it's definitely a trend that you will see increase, and not just with MTN, but I suspect other mobile operators across Africa as the next year comes in.
Good. Great, Candice. Well, I think let's call it there for this week's episode of Talk Central. As always, if you've got feedback on the show, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za or leave a comment under the podcast entry on the website. We're probably going to do one more of these before we call it the end of the year. So listen out for that in about a week's time. And if you are going on holiday now, hope you have a great trip and a great holiday, and we'll see you in the new year. From Candice Jones and myself, Duncan McLeod, until next time. Cheers.